This is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
Hi, I'm Joe Cole.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I got a problem and it's complicated. So if you change that, I just can't ignore the signs. Tell them now, it's so loud it hurts. Hear me, fella, hear me, how in the form.
On the throw, ball's gonna bounce down, it's three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night. It's 8 o'clock. And as mostly usual, this is the Unused Substitutes live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network and sponsored by Roughneck Scars. My name is Matt. And on the other end is a man who probably still remembers what his name is, even though he's gotten older since the last time we've talked. Dan, how you doing today?
I just finished an entire cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe or can of loaf?
Cantaloupe.
Like you just like shotgun a spam or something?
Oh my god, I've never eaten. No.
Not a fan. I don't think I've had spam since I was like a little kid.
I take that back. My mom used to make a canned ham with like she would put honey and cloves on it, and I guess that was it. Maybe that's why I don't eat pork very much, because of that.
You had those bacon wrap fillets like the first time you came over when we did the show, remember?
I ate bacon, and I made pulled pork like 2 weeks ago, but like I don't eat, there's very few pork products I'll eat. If it's slathered in barbecue sauce, I'll eat it. Is that a problem?
If we poured barbecue sauce on the nachos, it'd be okay?
No. On pork.
Barbecue poutine?
No, it's still the food touching, but it would sound more appealing in my head if you just put barbecue sauce on top of like French fries and maybe some like American cheese.
The combination makes a little bit more sense at that point.
Yeah, but I would still cringe. I'd rather dip it in the like cheese and barbecue sauce.
I haven't even had dinner yet. This is sounding really good. I might have to just like stop and let you talk for a while. I go make some food.
I mean I was just cutting up a cantaloupe. Because my mom gave it to me because it was going bad or something and she didn't want it. Or it was, you know, just ripe. So I was cutting it up earlier and then I just kept eating it and now it's all gone. That was my dinner.
So how was your birthday?
Chill. Nice. I mean, it seemed like it was a week or long or 2 weeks long, something like that. Because not this past Saturday, the Saturday before the green egg got here. You know, our meme intern sent me a board game, and then Saturday I had people over and we were making pizzas on the egg, and then yesterday was my actual birthday, and it was nice. It was just a family. Well, I came home from work, and then I played Mario Kart on the Switch for a couple hours, and then
I do believe you got owned. Oh, if I remember correctly.
I mean, okay. Yes, I will not deny that Mike destroyed me in Mario Kart, but I think I played three races before that as warm-up and practice. I don't have all of the stuff unlocked. I don't have any upgrades. I didn't even know what tracks I was racing on, but I'm going to train harder, and I'm coming for his crown.
Coming back to unseat Mike.
Yes, that is the goal.
I know, it's like your birthday's been going on since before the last show, because we were talking about the board game last time, weren't we?
Yeah, probably, because it came in, like I said, the egg in it. All of my gifts came like 2 weeks or like a week and a half before my birthday. So, I mean, other than, that's a lie. My my parents also got me a bottle of Jefferson Reserve whiskey, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah. I saw your picture of that the other night. Yeah, very nice like, looking.
Yeah. And my niece got me a book, which I knew about because she took it out of my hand at Books A Million and paid for it and told me I wasn't getting it to my birthday. But
that sounds like married life birthday gift shopping.
Yeah. My family thinks I'm really difficult to buy for. And I'm like, well, I'm a history nerd, so you can get me presidential biographies. I like soccer. You can get me Liverpool or Rowdy's things or now Wolfsburg things. I like Star Wars. Like, I have an Amazon, a public Amazon wish list I can send you. It's really not that difficult.
See, I do the same thing, and my family insists on, like, they look at the list and they're like, okay, stuff that's like that, but that's not exactly that. And then I'm kind of like, but exactly that is what I want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's interesting to watch people try to give gifts, and like, it's so easy now because I can give you, you can create wish lists on Amazon with, you know, even I even put variations of the thing, like I'm not sure which one I want, and I'll give you options of the thing I want, and then they go off on their own way, and I'm like, whoa, where did, thank you, I appreciate that, but why?
My problem is I make the list, and then like I'll just start randomly buying stuff off of it because I'm like, hey, this is stuff I wanted, and then my family's like, oh, I was going to get you that. I'm like, no, I already did.
Yeah, I do that too, but Ashley, usually about in mid-June, Ashley yells at me not to buy anything for myself.
So you've been celebrating like the last week and a half or so, whatever it is. I feel like I've been doing the opposite. So I have not seen my family since the last show, which sounds really terrible, like they've been kidnapped by you know, cartels or Russians or something. But they're just off in West Virginia for another 2 days. They don't get back till Friday. So it's been I've been home alone and just like posting pictures of like screen caps from Lost or Castaway or random things because it kind of describes what it's been like.
Sorry.
Nope, you're still there?
Yep. Hello.
Hello.
Okay. I still got you. We're still good.
But on the positive side, my daughter is now a national champion. So I'm going to use that to feel good about myself.
I mean, you had a hand in raising her and creating her, so I guess.
Yeah, know. I was there for a couple minutes at least.
Okay, so let's talk about the soccer game.
But all that segues to if you see me with her at Al Lang on Saturday because she's coming, just you feel free to say congratulations. She's very proud of herself, and she should be. But yeah, we're actually here to talk about most Wednesdays. And luckily this one's better than some of the recent ones because we won and it wasn't against Toronto and it was a pretty convincing victory overall. Last Saturday, Rowdies hosted Indy 11, our old NASL friends, and the Rowdies walked away with a 3-1 win. I was at the stadium, Dan, you were watching on TV celebrating your birthday. Give me your good, bad, ugly.
Oh my gosh, that was... I know it's only one game, and I tweeted it as such, but oh my God, that game was such a relief. Like, it was just good. The counterattack that Junior Fundings led to for Bonomo to get his goal in the 12th minute was fantastic. It's funny, I was thinking about this last night, that early at the beginning of the year in preseason, Stuart Campbell said something about, you know, the speed of this team. And, you know, he's really impressed with it and we're going to do these things. And it never materialized. And now, like, Neil Collins has taken over, remixed the whole squad, and we finally saw that. And it led to that goal. 7 minutes later, it pretty much led to Georgie's goal. And Junior Flemings was just on fire. Domodoro as a holding mid has been a revelation. So good back there. Like, I wasn't sure how that was going to pan out. We got him. He went straight into the squad and has bossed it since. Like, he's been here all season. Cody Mizell back in, you know, the starting role, and he stood on his head when we needed him the most. That was fantastic. It was just a really good performance, but obviously the good, everything encapsulated in good is definitely Junior Fleming's.
Yeah, I mean, he, one of the all-time great performances by a Rowdies player in that game. And it's just, the stats are kind of eye-popping enough. He's got a goal. He's got two assists, led the counterattack. The offense kind of flowed through him for most of the night. But, you know, the way he was tracking back and getting back on defense as well, you know, could have gotten a man advantage for the last couple minutes if the referee had done his job correctly. And we'll talk some more about that in a short time. But, I mean, the thing that kind of jumped out to me besides his actual, you know, the goal scoring and the assists was there was all this talk in the preseason about how he had put on some weight, put on some muscle and had gotten stronger. And we hadn't really seen that have a factor in the games yet. But in this game, he was going up against two, three guys sometimes and fighting through some of their challenges and finding a way to stay up and keep the ball moving and keep the game going. It was fantastic overall. I mean, it was just like, it was a brand new Junior Flemings, and I don't know what happened from, you know, he's had some good performances, but this was fantastic. This was just outstanding.
I think it's the Junior Flemings we've had since Neil took over. He had a great performance early on when shortly after Neil took over, and then he got hurt, and then the squad kind of, you know, was bad. This is pretty much what I think, you know, obviously not a goal and two assists is asking a lot every game, but I think that kind of performance, maybe not without the end result, but that kind of performance is what we should expect from him.
Yeah, he had a great game. Georgie, it's kind of like they repeated the, what was it, Red Bull in Richmond, I think it was, sequence where the ball is kicked, you know, booted kind of, I mean, I think it was a goal kick in with Red Bull in Richmond, but Venegas for Indy's trying to clear the ball out and manages to put it right off Georgie's face right back into the goal. You take him however you can get him, especially in a stretch like this, and it only bugged him for a moment, it seemed like, and then he was more than happy to celebrate that one.
I thought it was a Fleming's got the assist on that one. I thought it was a Junior Fleming's cross.
What was I thinking of?
I don't know. I mean, you were right in the
red. It's Venegas. Well, Fleming's got the assist, but I think if you watch it closer, there was some talk, at least at first, that Venegas got a foot on it as it bounced past him and like kind of redirected it onto Georgie's face, and that's why it was maybe a facial as opposed to a planned header.
I mean,
I'll have to go back and watch it again. I know they were talking about that on the commentary.
I wish that was the record-breaking goal, to be honest.
Right? That would have been fantastic.
Like, that's just... Georgie scores all these great goals at great moments, and the one that breaks the record would have been a face goal. I mean, technically, it broke a record, right? He broke his previous record.
So. Yeah, he's extended his record.
Yeah, with a face goal. It was fantastic. I loved it. Let's do more of those. I don't know if I have really... Looking now at statistics here and whatnot... It looks like the game was called more even than it felt, but also I'm very biased.
Yeah, there was what I think an equal number of yellows on each side, no reds,
and a
similar close number of fouls, or were the fouls equal to? I don't remember.
It was 13-12. Okay. So, yeah, like it felt a lot worse watching than it was, so I can't even complain about that really. Bad. I'll even just say, like, the Brad Ring tackle, that was bad. And the fact that it was only a yellow was bad. But the disciplinary committee has suspended him for a game, right? One game?
Yeah, I think it's just a one-game suspension.
How pee-offed is Cincinnati that wasn't, like, a three-game suspension?
You know, I was waiting for petitions and, you know, all kinds of stuff coming from Indy, but they're all kind of like, yep, that should have been a red probably when it happened.
That's what happens when you are a rational fan.
So there was one comment, and this is the only reason, like, I'm going to throw this into the bad. And you talked about it, like, it was pretty equal on both sides in terms of fouls whistled and cards given. But something like that, like the Brad Ring one, and one of the Indy fans kind of said it, excuse me, that you know, when in doubt, the referees are just giving a yellow and letting the disciplinary committee figure it out later, which is one way to go about it. But I think you run the risk during the game of letting the game kind of get out of control or losing authority over the game and putting players at risk if you're not going to either whistle or give the proper card for a foul.
I think generally, I don't know. My thing is here, it definitely should have been a red. I said it on Twitter. I say it now. I mean, watching replays. I think I don't have a problem with that philosophy of give a yellow and let the disciplinary committee sort it out later in the 90th plus two. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like if you're doing that in the 15th, then, you know, right. You've got some time ahead of you where people are going to go, oh, if that's just going to be yellow, well, then I'm going to, you know, stick my foot up this guy's.
The one thing I don't understand on the point of officiating, where the heck did 7 minutes in the second half come from?
You know, Diakite was down for a few minutes with the cramps twice. I don't think it added up to 7 minutes, but I mean, you had what, one goal? You had all the subs, I think, were second half subs. And there was no water break. So I guess, you know, you got some extended time because of the Diakite, you know, cramp up thing, but I didn't feel that was 7 minutes. Like, were we in Canada all of a sudden?
Right. That's usually like I would have said about five. But whatever. Anyway, I don't have any uglies. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I really don't either. I mean, it was ugly humid at least, but that's about it.
It was an entertaining game from two, you know, good teams. So I don't know. Like, I enjoyed that game. Obviously the result. Let's not get carried away yet. That's the result we expect to get at home. And it was a performance that says things are starting to fall in the right spot. Like the chips are, the dust is settling, and
right.
Neil has shaped this squad to where he wants it. But the one thing we need more than anything now is consistency. Let's see if we can put up this, you know, another 3 points against the Red Bulls this week, and then we can start talking about, you know, climbing the standings.
Yeah, and on that note, and of course, Jordy will miss Saturday's game with the yellow card accumulation suspension for flicking, you know, a dust mite off the other guy's jersey.
Yeah, that okay. That, you know, he pulled the jersey.
Yeah,
but like
I'm being a little facetious,
right,
but yeah,
no,
he,
I know. Right,
it was but... it's a foul, and I guess, you know, in the right circumstances. I don't know if it's a card in those circumstances, though.
In the 29th minute, you know, after, I don't even think he had any other fouls, he committed any fouls, for that to be a yellow, and then, like, half the stuff that, like, Indy did wasn't a yellow, was mind-boggling. Like, I think that was my main beef with the officiating. It wasn't so much, like, that it didn't feel uneven. What felt uneven was a shirt tug was a yellow in the 29th minute, but, like, a crazy from behind tackle that like got all guy was, you know, either not a yellow or wasn't anything more than a yellow. Like, I don't know.
And it seemed in some situations where if you compared similar circumstances, it was a whistle if it was Indy, but it was a yellow if it was us.
That's, and it felt like that, but obviously like numbers say something different.
Yeah, and then the one that sticks out to me, you know, willing to point out what our own players have done, there was a moment, I was gonna say maybe a couple of minutes before he gets subbed off, and if I remember right, it's Poku, just runs through a guy down in the corner near the sideline in front of the linesman, like arms stretched out, just piled right from behind, and I don't even know if it got whistled. Yeah. I think there was a whistle, but I don't think, like, I was like, that's got to be a yellow. No.
Yep. It was just it was just very odd decision making, which fine. It balanced out. It's fine. We won it. Whatever. Who cares? Let's talk about more.
All right. This is going to be a pretty easy one. I think man of the match.
Junior.
It's got to be. And I talked to him after the game. He was pumped up for it. But like you said, like Oduro had a great game. Cody had a great game. Bonomo had a great game. And even I'm going back and watching the replay, and I said this to you yesterday, I don't know that he doesn't get enough credit for the defensive pressure he puts on the Indy player who is either trying to pass or clear the ball and puts it right at Junior's feet. And I think that's kind of a direct result of the work Bonomo did and then gets back and finishes off the sequence by scoring the goal to start off the game.
Bonomo has been fantastic since he's come to the team, and to see him actually, you know, finally get a goal was good. Like I said, Junior and Bonomo worked together in New York, and I think you saw a little bit of that chemistry against Indy, so let's keep that going as well. But Junior Fleming's by far was the man of that match, but there were standouts all over. You could pick a man of the match from every position, and they all contributed together and made that result possible.
I mean, you got the man mountain, Diakite, you know, jumping in the back after having trained like one and a half times with the team, having flown from Senegal to Tampa Bay in the last week, and it was like he's been there all year. That looks like a fantastic signing based off of one game. Let's wait and see. But his numbers for the match were, I mean, if Junior doesn't have the two assists and the goal, you might be looking at Diakite and saying that's your man of the match right there from the performance he turned in.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, Cody Mizell, obviously, I mean, there's no other keeper playing for it, but he deserves a nod. Diakite gets a nod for the heck of a performance he put in for the, you know, and he cramped up and he's still like he was a rock back there. Domaduro covering defense and doing what he did. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Bonomo, fantastic. But, I think even if you took away a goal and two assists, Junior Fleming's, the offense flowed through him. And I think that's where he just ekes out that man of the match. And because I try not to base it on goals. Junior Fleming's just had a heck of a performance.
He had so much of an influence on the game. And even, you know, someone else who probably doesn't get a ton of credit and you know, certainly wasn't perfect on every touch, but Kyle Porter starts a lot of those attacks off trying to get the ball to Junior. He was playing forward a lot of the time last night or Saturday night and trying to get the ball to Junior. So, you know, for him to come back in and kind of slot in there. And yeah, I thought he had a pretty good night overall. Couple touches that didn't go the right way, but he's still, you know, I'll still say that's knocking off some game rust from not playing a ton of time in Ottawa, but hopefully we'll see improvements in that area as well. But yeah, I mean, it was good. Just everyone, there wasn't really a bad performance all night.
No, not at all. Definitely. I mean, even Poku had a good solid hour of play.
Yeah. I got a chance to talk to Junior and to Stefano and Neil after the game. And I didn't ask this of Junior because he's been here the entire season, but Stefano just kind of coming over recently, I asked him, you know, is he looking forward to next week at all? And it was like kid in a candy store, the way his face lit up and he was like, oh yeah, me and Junior and David Najim have kind of been talking about this one. And, you know, he's excited to play this game next week or this weekend.
Well, he's kind of got a little chip on his shoulder.
I would say so. Not surprised by that one at all. Stat of the match?
I'm going to go back to my comment just, you know, about Poku. He had 95.5 passing accuracy on 22 passes with one key pass, including an assist. He might not have an assist, or if it's, it might be a secondary, I would have to double check that. But I think Junior Fleming's got the two assists. And it's not hockey, so they don't get the secondary.
Right.
So that's just, you know, he might not get the goals, the goal or an assist, but that's what you want out of your midfielder, your attacking mid there. Those numbers are great, and he's still settling in and getting back into the groove, so I expect big things from him.
I'm going to say passing accuracy too, but I'm going to go, instead of going with one player, I'm just going to point out the teams in general. Rowdy's had 84% passing accuracy, which is well above their season average of 77%. 84% is actually higher than any team in the league's average percentage for the year. So much improved with the passing game on Saturday night, and including And I don't, there's not a year stat for this, but their passing in the opponent's half was at 70%, which was much higher than Indy's, but it was definitely higher than Indy's 66, basically 67%. And you know, they led to them creating more chances and actually this time capitalizing on them. Like, it just was a great game overall. And I think it comes down to that improved passing. I don't know if that's a result of the change in formation. Some of the, I'm trying to think, Diakite is the only guy who made as his first start, right?
Yeah.
Or is it Bonomo's first start?
Might be his as well. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll see. We'll see if this is the formation that they're going to go with going forward. And sub someone in for Jordy this weekend or change it from there. But yeah, job well done. Nice. It's nice to have happy podcast again, isn't it?
Yeah, I forgot what that was like.
happy podcast that doesn't involve Toronto. We'll take it.
Yeah.
All right. So the Eastern Conference standings, or as I'm going to refer to it tonight, the Eastern Conference dance party, just because I've had USL disco on my mind all day long after reading the Brad Ring thing. And we do have one game going on right now. We'll talk about that shortly. Since he's still on top with 44, Charleston 35, Pittsburgh 34 points, Louisville 32, Red Bull 31, Indy with 28, Ottawa and Nashville with 27. Nashville is currently in action against Atlanta United tonight, which you might say, maybe we'll get a draw there, but Nashville's missing several players, including Matty Pickens, not even in the 18. I believe he's injured. And Atlanta's team that they brought to town, someone did the numbers, they're starting 11 tonight, has 48 MLS appearances already this season. So we would like to see an Atlanta win, because it doesn't get them too much closer to us than where they are. But it keeps Nashville 2 points ahead of us if they do.
I think it should also be said, Nashville Charlotte has two game, or we have two games in hand on Charlotte, mm-hmm. and they're 2 points ahead. I think you could say we should be able to make that up, especially this weekend. We should hopefully we get a win against the Red Bulls, and Charlotte can stumble, and that'll put us right back into contention.
Yeah, I mean, Bethlehem and Indy play tomorrow, and Indy's going to be without Brad Ring. So Bethlehem's right behind us by a point. Indy's 3 points ahead. It wouldn't mind terribly. I guess a draw from that one would be okay. Don't let Bethlehem get too far ahead of us. But a win this weekend, and we're, bottom half of the playoff standings again all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, we're – before, let's not get too excited. Let's see what if we can beat the New York Red Bulls to here on Saturday, which we're going to dive into a little bit. I would say now we're starting to look a little bit more serious. But one result does not right a ship. We need to string, there's still too much red in our last five game form.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that red out of that picture, and let's get back into, the winning ways completely, but the map to the playoffs is not like we're riding the if we are indeed riding the ship, we're riding at the right time to the fact that
right.
We're not, we're not Richmond or Atlanta 2, or I mean North Carolina's still even in it, but they're fading a bit.
All right, so some other team and league news to go over real quick before we get into our Rowdy's Red Bull 2 preview. We finally got a resolution. Still not a lot of answers, and I don't think that we ever will. It is what it is, I guess. To the Ivan Magalhães and Matias Reynarre situation, both players were released. I want to say it was like Thursday or Friday last week. I know it was after we did the show. With a short one sentence statement about each one on the team's website. I best wishes to them going forward.
Yeah, I get,
literally have nothing. I do not have any other information besides what is publicly available on the the Pinellas Clerk of Court site, basically.
Yeah. Okay, move on.
Yep. The news that came out earlier today, and saw this, kind of saw this coming yesterday, Jacksonville's head coach resigned to pursue other opportunities. There was some speculation he could end up in Louisville. El Paso, the USL team coming in next year, was scheduled to make an announcement, and it turned out the announcement was that they have hired him, Mr. Mark Lowry, as their head coach and technical director, because he really wants to get back to coaching soccer in baseball stadiums.
I mean, if he went to Louisville, it would have been the same thing.
Yeah, but at least they're getting their own stadium soon.
Yeah, and he would have moved on from at that point. He would have left
clip. Since you wouldn't let me make the other joke.
Yeah, that one we can't get away with
it. if you're a patron, we'll put it out there on the website later, and you can judge whether or not it was good, or like most of mine, you know, not so much. So Louisville's still looking for a coach, and we're still waiting on. We thought El Paso might make an announcement about a club name or colors or anything else, but nothing. And I kind of think they're going to end up in Central Conference next year, so it won't be a team we're going to see too much of. Well, unless there's some kind of cross conference scheduling, which they're going to have to do. If you look at the team, like the way that each conference is going to lose teams, and you're not going to cut back to like 12, 13, you know, games, home and away. So you'll have to do some kind of cross conference stuff, I guess. But I didn't even throw that on the agenda for tonight, so we won't get too much into it.
Yeah, I was going to say I haven't looked at it because we're halfway through this season, and the Rowdies are, you know, are still in it, and I would rather focus on that than conference alignments.
Well, you don't want to do a deep dive in El Paso right now?
I other than hiring Jacksonville's coach, that's all I know, and I don't care. I don't even know most of the. I couldn't even tell you the expansion teams off the top of my head, other than Hartford, and I'm up because I'm upset that they're not the Whale. But other than that,
did you see that other Twitter account I sent you today?
Yeah, I followed it.
Pucky the Whale. That looks interesting. We'll have to check that one out. All right. So this next thing, and I don't know if you have an idea what I'm about to talk, but you know, when we were at Mickey Quinn's, 2 weeks ago for the away game, and then just me hanging around the mob and the tailgate folks on Saturday, we got to talking about how and Pendleton kind of said it in one of his posts, the latest one about the kind of the attendance thread, that we've kind of settled into this groove where it's like, okay, 5,000, 5,200, 5,500, no matter what, for, you know, certain games, home openers or something coming in, you might push up against that 6,000-7,000 level. But we started kind of chatting about the idea of supporters versus customers. And the point I was kind of making to him was, if we're in this groove, then those are your supporters. Those are the folks that are kind of coming no matter what. Weather looks bad. Okay, we'll show up anyway. You know, it's Toronto FC 2. Okay, fine. We're going to show up. So we kind of started talking about it. You know, is it realistic to think that you could fill those other seats in the stadium on a regular basis? You know, we know they do it for home openers. We know we do it when, you know, if Orlando B comes to town or something. Is it realistic to think that you could fill those on a kind of, you know, regular basis? And I said, yeah, but you know, you've got supporters, the rest of those seats, that's going to be customers. The people that are coming for a reason other than they want to see what Poku's going to do, or they want to see, you know, how Neil's going to set up the team. Like, they're coming because there's something else that's appealing to them. And then you get them there and try and turn them into supporters at some point. First off, what do you think? Is it reasonable to think that we could start to, you know, there's something you can do to fill this stadium up on a regular basis?
Whew, I am unprepared. Off the top of my head, no, I don't. I think I haven't looked at Mike's attendance numbers this year, but it's barely a change, right? I think it's what, like 1% or less decrease from last
year? Actually, it's maybe like 1% increase over last year.
Okay, so we're still growing, but at a very slow rate. It's still going.
Yeah, it's something like the average is like 100 or 150 people more than last year at this point.
So, yeah, I mean, we're what? This is our, I don't even know how many, seventh year?
Seventh or eighth? Well, first one was what? 2011, and then 2012 moved to Al Lang.
So 2011, so
somewhere in there, yeah.
Seventh year. So yeah, growth is going to start to, you know, slow down and be semi-stagnant. I don't think the market for Division II soccer is going to, you know, explode. But to your theory, I was a casual. I randomly went to a game on 4th of July and, you know, and I started just when I was in the area or something, I would go to a game. And then, you know, an ex-girlfriend took me back at Steinbrenner and whatnot. So it's possible, but I think it's just hard to do. I mean, we would need to increase advertising. You know, I think if we, the branding that needs to change, the We Stand for Soccer stuff is stale.
Mm-hmm.
Get more radio and TV ads out there at key moments. I think a good advertising campaign can help a little. But I don't think you're going to, I don't think you can get that place to capacity week in, week out. I also like, we don't obviously don't have access to these numbers, but I mean, everything we've heard from ticket people is walk-ups account for a lot of the sales.
Right.
So that just tells you most people are probably casual. I know you're saying, like, because the numbers are steady, that it's those are supporters. I think there's you'd have to see the turnover on, you know, like, how many people are actually returning, and how many is that are new walk-ups and things like that. Because
yeah, I mean, it's not the same. It's not the same, you know, group overall. You know, exact same. I was just thinking because Saturday you had there was the Rays game going on, which I don't think is a huge drain on Rowdy's attendance. Like people who are gonna like, if you're gonna decide between going to a sporting event, like you either like baseball or you like soccer. I know there are people who like both. I don't think there's a ton of crossover in those two groups though. There was a reggae festival going on two blocks from the stadium and still pulled in, I think it was like 53-78, something like that. So it's like what they're doing is good enough to hit that number on a regular basis.
Yeah. I don't know.
And that's what we were talking about. Is there things you can do, something you can do to do more? One of the things, and this was another thing that popped in my head a couple of days ago about it. The Washington Post's general soccer writer tweeted out the TV ratings for the World Cup for Fox and for Telemundo. Number 10 market in the country for Telemundo, Tampa St. Pete. What's one group, one area that we've consistently, or we, the club has consistently not done a ton of outreach towards? I know they're doing some different things now. You know, is reaching out to that like Hispanic community in the area to, you know, let them know, you know, maybe advertise who some of these players are from some of the different countries and so, you know, the connections in there, advertise on some of these networks that are playing games. Like it feels like that's a big missing piece right now.
I mean, just a quick search, and this isn't to downplay your theory here, but the like Hispanic, for lack of a better word, breakdown population is 6% of St. Pete.
All right. Well, what's St. Pete overall?
St. Pete is white and white and black.
No, but like total numbers.
Where is it? Well, it says probably there's about 16,000 Hispanic people in.
Can you find 500 to 1,000 that want to come to a game on a regular basis if you market to them the right way?
Possibly.
I think possibly. I mean, we saw it when they had the Florida Cup game between Nacional and the Polish team. Like, there was a gigantic group of fans there, had their banners and everything. They were the Nacional fans from Tampa. And I know some of the guys from the mob went and talked to them and like, oh, hey, do you guys come to the Rowdies game? And they're like, no, we never really knew about it. I said, well, you know, please come back. Love the energy, the you know, what you're doing. I think you could start to pull some of those people in on a regular basis.
Yeah, but My question is, what is the outreach then to them? Like, how do you, other than signing a bunch of Latin players that they might know, like, how else do you outreach to them?
I don't know.
How do you outreach to anybody?
This is why I teach history, not marketing.
Right. Like, how do you reach out to almost an advertising campaign? Maybe have a couple in Spanish or something. But I think you need to have just an advertising campaign.
I mean, I remember one, and this was a couple years ago. It's not necessarily current on the current situation. I was home one day, and like the mailman was dropping something off the front door, knocked on the door, and I was wearing Rowdy's t-shirt, and he's like, "Oh, is that a soccer team? Like, I've heard the name." And he's like, "Yeah." Or I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, do they have any players from Colombia?" And I was like, "I don't think right now." Oh, okay. Like, that was the first thing he went to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't. You can't just dictate a roster to represent community.
No, you definitely shouldn't do that, but there are guys on this team from some of these countries that have some of these backgrounds, and is that information out there? Do they know? I don't know.
Does it? But do you need to? Like, I mean, okay, like, I don't know. Let me just. I'm trying to think here, just off the top of my head. Like, I don't know. Like, is Leo Fernandez a big enough name? For him to draw Pete, you know what I mean? Like, draw his fellow,
right.
So
I don't know if it has to be a big enough name, but if you have, I don't know. That's like the guy says, "Oh, is there anybody from my country?"
If you were like, yeah, I don't know. And I know they're not, but if you're like, Bonomo, and he was like, "I don't know who that is," but that's cool. It's probably how that would go.
Yeah, probably.
It
feels like there's, it feels to me like there's things that could be done.
Yeah, like an advertising campaign, maybe community involvement, I think they do. I will say they do a lot of good. Like, they do a lot of community outreach and involvement in that way.
Yeah, you see the Rowdy Squad out at like any kind of like festival thing going on, and it's not even just St. Pete. Like, they're in Tampa, they're in Bradenton, they're in Sarasota.
Yeah,
but it just almost feels like there's somewhere that we're not going.
Yeah,
I don't know what those places are, but it just feels like there's something that we're not doing right.
Advertising in general. I mean, other than billboards here and some stickers that or like magnets that we don't hear anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, and the other thing, and this, a couple people brought this up, and I've noticed it a lot more, at least lately. And we haven't really, the only time we've done this is with Bolton. But having these kind of mid-season international friendlies, like right now, Richmond's playing Espanyol, who finished mid-table in La Liga last year, and then they're going to go play Cincinnati later on this week, or possibly this weekend, I think, maybe. We've got the MLS preseason stuff, and you can say you've got Canadian teams that come down then. We're doing this two-poll party in August because there's a bye weekend. I don't know how I feel about these in general, because while I like the idea of, maybe you bring in some fans by bringing in some of these teams that they don't see as often, or, teams they've heard of but they don't see as often, I still don't know how I feel about mid-season friendlies.
I hate them. Just like I hate the All-Star game being mid-season, I would hate a friendly mid-season. Like, maybe at best you're throwing out your B team. At worst, one of your, one of your main players gets injured, like pulls a hammy. And,
right.
If you're doing it August, you're gearing up for, especially now with the team, like, you're in the thick of a playoff hunt. You could be, let the guys rest when they can. It's a long season, and don't get me wrong, if we could get some, when Wolfsburg came, that was cool. Like, I appreciate that. But do those numbers, does that actually correlate to a bunch of new people?
Well, and I think that's another thing with midseason, probably not, because you're talking about midseason here, that's middle of summer. You come out there, okay, that was fun. I don't know if I want to go, drop 25 pounds in humidity sweat for another couple of weeks. But if you did something like that in preseason, like when we do Florida Cup, which is one way you have brought in some international teams, You know, it's, you go into it knowing that you're not seeing, like, you know, your team at their very best against their team at their very best, because they're probably going to bring in reserve players because it's something that's usually like middle of their season at that point. But you could do it. I mean, and you, like you mentioned Wolfsburg, I still have this, you know, grand idea in my head of you bring down Wolfsburg and then you can bring in Chattanooga FC, because Wolfsburg and Wolfsburg and Chattanooga are sister cities. Find someone else to kind of do that, or bring in teams from our sister. I was joking around a couple weeks ago about, oh, get this second division Japanese, or actually I think they're third division Japanese team in. But then I saw the St. Pete Chamber of Commerce posted there were students from that town, from the city in town, and, you know, meeting people in St. Pete and doing stuff with the Chamber of Commerce. So there is some kind of connection there. Plus their badge has a bowl of udon noodles topped with a soccer ball on it. And that just looks pretty cool.
Do you really think that's going to bring any fans?
You might get some traveling ones from overseas if they kind of do this, like, you know, visit sister cities kind of thing. The Wolfsburg one, I think, would. I think Chattanooga is one of those names that's kind of popular with some of the lower division soccer hipsters, and you might get some of them coming over here don't get a chance to go up to Chattanooga.
Are you saying a Chattanooga versus Wolfsburg friendly at Al Lang?
No, do some kind of like 3-4 team competition over a period of, you know, like a week or something like that, where you've got the Rowdies, Wolfsburg, Chattanooga, and someone else.
Yeah, if you do it in preseason, yeah, or there.
Yeah, like Sao Paulo or something, maybe. Resurrect that deal once again.
Yeah, right, good luck with that one. But yeah, I guess I could see something like that. But I think, you know, Chattanooga guys are, they're semi-pro. So that wouldn't be so easy to do.
Yeah, but I mean, they did like a home and away with Detroit City, and I think, you know, Chattanooga, they play in a like a college football stadium, and I want to say they had like 10,000-12,000 there for it, if I remember correctly. And then Cincinnati or Detroit Stadium holds like 7,000, and that was a total sellout for that.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I think, yeah, you could get some numbers that way, and then maybe open people up some more to it. I don't know. It's just seems like there's possibilities out there. So one of the other things that I did mention there, like, and that was something else that came up too, is we kind of talked about if some of these things are getting, like, there's things that the supporters can do to kind of drag this thing forward a little bit. And that's where we're getting the idea for the two-pole party, which I'll plug once again. You can find it on Facebook. It's coming up on Saturday, August 18th. We'll be at the warehouse out back behind Shamrock Pub. Starting at 10 a.m. Stay as long as you want. They'll have Premier League on in the bar in the mornings. They'll have other USL games, MLS, whatever's on. We'll get a chance to throw it on the screen and come on out and hang with us. The mob's coming down. There's some of the TIFO crews coming down. So if you have an idea but not a design, you can work with them on getting a design, and let's just have a good time. I want to fill that section up with some creative banner and banter for the next home game, which is Cincinnati on the 25th of August. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I encourage people to go, be creative, have some fun, party.
You gonna come down and bring the big green egg and cook some pork for us?
No.
Don't want to carry that big thing.
It won't fit in my car.
that table thing has wheels on it, right? Can't you just kind of drive slow down the interstate and haul it behind you?
I am not risking that thing.
All right. Shall we jump into our Rowdies Red Bull little preview?
Yes, definitely.
All right. So Red Bull 2, if you remember, most of us have tried to forget, have beaten us once this season already, 5-0, the week after we beat Ottawa, 5-0. In New York, the good news for the Rowdies is that if there's ever been a team worse on the road than the Rowdies, it's Red Bull. They have not won a road game at all this season, and their offense, which is the top-rated offense in the league overall and the top-rated offense when they play on home turf, slumps to 26th out of 33 teams when they go on the road. So hopefully that's all stuff that will play into the Rowdies' hands. There's one of the Cincinnati guys does this expected goals chart, how many goals they expect each side to score in a game based on stats and history and all that stuff. The expected goals for this game, Rowdies are at 2.25 and 0.072 for or 0.72, I want to say, for Red Bull New York 2, like just under a goal a game for this game. We've got two games in hand on them, which explains why they've scored 44 goals, 15 more than we have, but also because they're very prolific, especially at home. I've taken 132 shots on target. Shooting accuracy is a little bit higher than, just a couple percentage points higher than us, but they've converted more of their chances. They take a lot more chances, so they convert them into more goals. Conversion rates are similar, 15% to 14.7, and assists with 28-19. So they're, again, a very good offense, but they have struggled on the road. And we're like you said, we're halfway through the season. If this was something where we're two or three games in, maybe you don't look at that as a trend, but I think at this point you look at it and say they are not a good road team. We know one when we see one. Let's see here. What else we've got? They've conceded more goals, 33-27, again, playing two more games. Have kept one fewer clean sheet, 3-4. They've faced more shots than the Rowdies have. Won a lot more tackles. Pretty good defensively. Distribution-wise, their passing accuracy is lower than ours. They're about a 72%. We're at about 77. But again, 84 for last week. We'll just keep celebrating that one. A lot better on crossing accuracy. A lot better on... I'm trying to read because my eyes are old and this picture is shrunk down a little bit. More successful dribbles. We have a higher dribble success rate, especially, I want to say, when Fleming's is involved. And then discipline-wise, they've won more fouls. They've conceded more fouls. They have two fewer yellows and one fewer red card. They do have one player on a yellow card caution, one game away from suspension. So do we. Joe Cole is one card away from his second accumulation suspension for the year. And Georgie Ristoff, like we mentioned earlier, is suspended. Do you think we keep the same formation, go with the 4-3-3 that we had again last Saturday and sub someone in from Georgie? If so, who? Or do you think we tweak and maybe go back to a 4-4-2 for this? What do you see going on this week?
Put Leo Fernandez in the spot and just go with it.
Sub him in for Georgie and stick with the 4-3-3 then?
Yeah, it worked. It looked good. Junior and Bonomo linked up well. You add in some Leo craftiness on the left wing, and you just go with it. Let's see what happens. I mean, if need be, if it's not working at halftime, you can swap Leo and drop it to a 4-4-2, but I don't see why you would.
We have plenty of forwards. We can try.
Exactly. Like, just, I mean, Bonomo's that center guy, so you just want somebody, you know, that can attack from the left, and just put Leo over there and see what happens.
Stefano, when I talked to him on Saturday night, said, you know, this is a relatively easy game to prepare for. You know, we know how they're going to prepare, what they're going to do. And they're familiar with us because we've played them this year and then the three games last year, actually counting the playoff game. How much of an advantage do you think having guys like Najem and Stefano and Junior around to talk about the Red Bull system, how much of an advantage do you think that helps?
It did wonders when we played them in New York.
He said sarcastically.
That's my point. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, they're not there, but, you know, you have an idea. And granted, it's a new coaching regime, well, new head coach and some new players here. So it might work. I think Neil has seen New York enough and is fed up with him enough in his own way.
As are we all.
Yeah, so I think, you know, he's watched the film. Neil's played against them. He knows what they can do.
Right.
And I mean, he played in that 5-0 loss. So it's just, let's see what he can do on the other side. But it'll be
good.
Didn't
we lose like, you know, 3-1 or 4-1, something like that to them last year up there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we get killed by them on the road all the time.
Right. So let's but they're a team, like they're a team that no matter, even if they lose at home, they're going to put up some numbers. I mean, I know they lost to Cincinnati, but I want to say it was like, you know, 3-2. Like they pushed a team like Cincinnati, which they're just, they're, for whatever it is they do, they're extremely well-disciplined, well-drilled, and confident at home. And luckily, it hasn't played out to the road for them just yet.
Yeah, let's hope they keep being bad, being really bad on the road here.
All right, predictions? You want to make them?
No, I'm out of the prediction business.
I'm going to lean. I'm going to go straight expected goals party line on this. I'm going to say 2-1 Rowdies.
I hope you're right.
Bonomo and Poku.
I will actually be at this game, so it's finally my triumphant Al Lang July return.
It's back to school night, which sadly reminds me that school is starting soon. I think next week is my last week of vacation, actually.
Oh, that means my terrible, terrible, awful summer is my season's coming to an end. Thank God.
Yeah, but it's still gonna be hot until like November.
Yeah, but usually, I mean, after 4th of July, it slows down a bit, and then definitely after Labor Day, it dies. So yeah, like a month and a half, left.
So then it's time to work on, well, I can't talk about that just yet.
Yeah, we got to talk about like how we're going to announce that, because, I mean, anyway, we'll talk about that off air.
All right, anything else we need to throw in for this week?
No, I don't think so.
All right, so we'll wrap it up. We love yous. Who do you got?
Myself. I love myself. I'm giving it to myself. It's my birthday. We got to win. I miss Al Lang. I love myself.
I love you too, Dan.
Thank you.
We'll make him unanimous this week. I will throw in my we love you to you. If you are interested in supporting the show in an ongoing way, you can do that at Patreon. Patreon.com/unusedsubspod. There are different perks for different levels of support. We didn't have any patron questions this week, but that's one of the things you can do if you are $10 and up. If you're $20 or up, you get basically everything, including scarves, which we are now finally taking pre-orders for. I know you're excited.
Yes, finally. Pre-order them. Pre-order them so we can get them in.
Finally. Yeah, we're already close to our pre-order goal to get the order in to begin with. So, you can find us at the game and give us money. You can do it on Facebook. We can just like, you know, directly PayPal, whatever you want to do. If you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/unusedsubspod, the picture is in the Facebook page header. You can click on the button there. It says shop now. It'll take you right to it. You can put your pre-order in. We're going to try and have these in time for August, September, somewhere in there. It's almost August now, so but get them sometime during that month so we can get them out to you guys. They look fantastic. They are secretly designed by a secret designer who, whichever person you're thinking of that does Rowdy's design stuff, it's not them. Whoever the first person you think of, I'm pretty sure you won't think of this person, but they did an awesome job, and we're thrilled to have these, hopefully sooner rather than later. Wherever you're listening to us, if you would be so kind as to give us a rating and review, especially if you know, lie and give us 4 or 5 stars, whatever it is they have out there, and say nice things, it puts us in front of other people who may end up being interested in this kind of thing. And then maybe they'll listen to the show and they'll say, I need to go to Al Lang sometime. And then they'll come to Al Lang and they'll say, man, I need to move to St. Pete. And there we are, driving the growth of the region and improving soccer for everybody. Look at what we did just by being stupid into a microphone for an hour.
Heck yeah.
I'm proud of us. But wherever you listen to this, whether it's live on Radio St. Pete, I don't know if they do ratings and reviews, they should, or wherever else, if you're on Spotify or TuneIn or Stitcher or Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts or whatever else is throwing podcasts out there, we would appreciate that. Thank you, as always, to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, to Mickey Quinn's, to Shamrock, and to Big Storm, just places that we like. And thanks again to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. That's it for this week. We'll be back next Wednesday, hopefully talking about another win. Daniel, any final words?
Let's do this.
So is the bike done now, or are we still working on it?
The bike will be done when we have a USL Cup, but I'm going to stop saying it since we went on a rough patch since we brought into the conversation, and I'm going to hold off for now.
All right. Are we making any tattoo bets this week?
I just got a tattoo, but yeah. Not a Rowdy's tattoo, but I got a tattoo.
I'm going to bring back the challenge.
What's the what's your tattoo bet?
Rowdy's tramp stamp if we get a home playoff game.
A home playoff game. All right. I'm going to just stick with the hat trick one, but I don't have one for Bonomo or Junior. I don't have any ideas at the moment. But if
just anybody gets a hat trick, you get a tattoo?
Yeah, if anybody scores a hat trick, I'll get a Rowdy's tattoo.
Oh, you know what? Jared's going to be in town in like a month, too.
Is he
someone can get a hat trick, Jared can do your tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's perfect. That would be good.
There we go. All right. That's it for us. Dan, play that music.
The Rowdy's one here, the Rowdy's one there, they kick the wall around. The Rowdy's one here, the Rowdy's one there, and they pull the ground. Oh, the Rowdy's are the kick in the grass.